Good afternoon. Hello, everyone. I'm meant to be talking about Shemitah. This fire conference is focusing on Shabbos, and Shabbos is the seventh day of the week, where we acknowledge how God created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. And this day, away Shabbos, is the idea of remembering Hashem, God, as the creator, master of the universe. The Chinuch says that the idea of the seventh year, where we leave go of so many other activities, although not as strict as Shabbos, but also is subject to the same idea of awareness of Hashem being the creator of the world.
Do you want this?
Yes. The conference center, they want to give some kind of presentation of PowerPoint. Is it still possible to set up the equipment?
We're doing it right now.
Sixth form, quickly, please.
Conference center, then sixth form.
There we go. How does it get this under there?
It's about 30 seconds or less.
Continue. What does the word Shemitah actually mean? The word Lashamit means to slip, or to let slip. And if you have something...
Yeah, that way,
still not there.
Okay.
We have two forms of Shemitah. One is called Shemitah of money, and the other is called Shemitah of soil, of the land. Shemitah. One is called Shemitah's Ksofim, and the other one is called Shemitah's Karkois. Shemitah's Ksofim means that if someone owes you money, so once in 7 years, there is an amnesty and a waiver, and you cancel any debts which are owing to you. Some say that that applies at the beginning of the year of Shemitah, and that is why we made a prusbu on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so that we shouldn't have to waive the debts. Most communities will do the prusbu at the end of the year of Shemitah, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, or the eighth year, in other words, the end of this year. That is Shemitah's Ksofim. So I said the word Shemitah means to let slip. If someone, you had a charge of someone else's property, on his wealth, they owed you money, so then you let that slip. That's Shemitah's Ksofim. Our focus, though, is going to be more on Shemitah's Karkois, on the agricultural activity, on a break, taking a break with agricultural activity. In Eretz Yisrael, where we'd love to be there. This year, any agriculture activity is very, very different. Very, very restricted. If I would have a lawn, I have to think very carefully, am I allowed to water the lawn? I'm allowed to water the lawn only as much as it should survive. I'm not allowed to propagate. If I have a hedge, am I allowed to trim the hedge? I'm talking about an Eretz Yisrael. And so on, even in a domestic front or back garden, there's going to be lots of questions about what I'm allowed to do on Shemitah. Of course, the ploughing and the harvesting in a normal manner is clearly restricted in the Torah, they're not allowed to do it.
Wonderful way it works.
Our concern, though, is not our immediate concern is not the working of the land in Eretz Yisrael, because we're not there. Our concern is about produce which comes from Eretz Yisrael and comes to this country. Produce which grew in Eretz Yisrael and is now, what is the status of produce which grew in the year of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael? Does it have a special guideline to this? So here we have what's called Kedushas Shviyas, the fruit which grew in Eretz Yisrael during the year of Shemitah will have a certain Kedusha. What does this Kedusha mean, this sanctity? A few restrictions. One thing is that they may not be exported from Eretz Yisrael. The fruit of Eretz Yisrael has to be eaten in Eretz Yisrael. That is the Shemitah fruit. The whole year, other 6 years may be exported. Therefore, the whole export of fruit from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz actually is quite problematic. If fruit from Eretz Yisrael happened to be exported to Chutz La'aretz, you are allowed to eat it there. So we are allowed to. So if we do manage to pick up somehow Eretz Yisrael fruit in Chutz La'aretz, we're allowed to eat it. I want to now draw a clear distinction between Peiros Ha'ilon and Peiros Ha'aretz, between fruit which grow from a tree and fruit which grow from the soil. And this has major difference, a major consequence in the laws of Shemitah. The fruit of a tree do not have to be replanted every year. They will just grow by themselves. It doesn't involve an annual activity of plowing the soil, of planting seed. By contrast, vegetables, pri ha'aretz, those need to be replanted every year. When I go in a supermarket and I pick up an avocado, what is an avocado? A peire ha'aretz or pri ha'ilon? Does it come from a tree or does it go from the ground? Does he make it by a pri ha'adam or by a pri ha'etz on avocado? I mentioned dafka avocado because it's very misleading. People think of avocado as a vegetable, it's a thing which you put in salads. But actually, avocado is a pri ha'etz. It grows on a tree and the brock is by a pri ha'etz. Now, the avocado, which you'll pick up now, which has a caramel sticker, that does not have Kedusha Shviyas. For the reason being that fruit of the tree are defined according to the time when they blossomed. And fruit which has been ripened now, this time in the autumn of the year of Shemitah, had blossomed during the year before Shemitah. So when will the avocados from Eretz Yisrael become an issue, or peaches or plums, whatever it may be, they will become an issue later on in the year and in next autumn. That's when they will become an issue. So that is because Pri Ha'ilon, I'm going to use the Hebrew word, is Bosar Chanoto. We go according to the time of the blossoming. By contrast, Pri Ha'aretz, Yerek, greens, vegetables, herbs, they go according to their status is defined Bosar Likito, at the time when they are harvested. So if you go into a shop and you see oregano, or dill, which comes from Eretz Yisrael, that does have the status of Shemitah, because vegetables, doesn't matter when they began growing, it matters when they are harvested. And I'll explain you the rationale. Pri which water, the question is, which water provides this plant's growth? Is it this year's rain or last year's rain? A tree has got deep roots, and therefore, even if it wouldn't rain in this autumn, it would still produce those avocados, because it's able to draw on resources of water deeper down from last year's produce. So therefore, pri ho'ilon, fruit of a tree, goes according to the zman hachanot, when the fruit began developing. By contrast, pri ha'oretz, vegetables, they cannot survive. They don't dig so deep for their water. They cannot survive on last year's rains. They are provided by this year's rains. And hence, the halacha, yere is bosar lekito, that vegetables go according to the time of their harvest. And therefore, just to summarize that last point, pri ha'ilon, the fruit of the tree, which is on sale now in the market from Eretz Yisrael, does not have an issue of shviz, of shmita. Vegetables will have an issue of shmita right away. That might be helpful in the autumn of next year. But meanwhile, finally there. Okay, so I won't repeat the whole drasha, step by step, that we did. Right, this is where we're holding. Okay. Sfichim. The word sfiach is a Hebrew word mentioned in Torah. Eis sfiach yetzircho loisikso ves invenezirecho loisipso. The word sfiach means it means the regrowth. A farmer harvests his wheat. As he's cutting the wheat and putting it in a basket or bundling it in the sheaf, some kernels will drop to the soil, and predictably next year, even if he does not cultivate, does not plant, there will be a regrowth. That regrowth is called sefiach. And min ha-Torah, there's no problem of us going in the year of Shemitah, let's say a field where last year grew lettuce, there will be lettuce growing, not as many as last year, but inevitably there'll be some of the same. There'll be strawberries where strawberries were last year, even though I did not plant strawberries, and so on. Min ha-Torah, that is permissible. However, the Chachomim observed that people were going to their fields, perhaps secretively, and they were planting vegetables and grains during the Shemitah year, in violation of Shemitah, and when they were confronted, how come you have such amount? So they said, oh, well, I had lots of svichin. It happened by itself. So, unfortunately, because of this phenomenon, the Chachamim saw fit to make a very, shall we say, draconian gezeira decree, and they banned the use of any sfichin, of any vegetables which grow by themselves, or not by themselves, during the year of Shemitah. Which means that any tomatoes and cucumbers which grow in your field, in your garden, during the year of Shemitah, you may not eat, because of the problem of Sfichin, the Gzeira of Sfichin. In Eretz Yisrael, that has got massive ramifications, because where are the few million Yidden Ken Yirbu who are keeping kashrus, etc., where are they going to get tomatoes and cucumbers, which is staple Israeli breakfast? Where are they going to get it from? Till recently, 90% of the cucumbers on sale in Eretz Yisrael grow in Gaza, And until the Intifada, it would be the normal thing that the various badatsim and the various batidin would send mashgichim, supervisors down south to the Gaza, and they would supervise and endorse batches of vegetables which are grown in non-Jewish fields. Therefore, the gezeira, the isur of svichin, doesn't apply to those vegetables, and they would then be shipped to all around Eretz Yisrael, whatever wants someone to get, you know, with the stuff with the Hechsher. Let me just clarify something. The tomatoes, the cucumbers growing in Aza, assuming that Aza is Eretz Yisrael, they've got, they are Shmita fruit, they are Shmita produce, but they don't have the Issur of Sfiche. So that was one source. Unfortunately, in the last few years, that has become, that source is no longer available. So they're looking for other sources where you can get vegetables. So say that they should import, you know, 1 year out of seven, import 1 million tons of whatever, of cucumbers and vegetables from Chutz La'aretz. It's very, very unlikely. It's a very difficult thing to do. So they're looking for other sources of permissible produce. So one source is the south of Eretz Yisrael. If you think of the southern border of Eretz Yisrael in biblical terms, it's just beneath Be'er Sheva. Think of the south end of the Yam HaMelech of the Dead Sea. Draw a line straight, more or less, across till the Mediterranean, and that is the southern border of Eretz Yisrael in biblical terms. Contemporary state of Israel goes until Eilat. There's this triangle from the south of, from the Negev down to Eilat. That triangle used to be totally arid and nothing grew there. Now it's been developed. It's called the Arava, and they've really developed that area, and it grows. The place is full of very rich fruit. So, on the understanding that that is not Kedushas HaOretz, therefore, that is has been a good source of providing vegetables free of Shmita, free of Kedushas Shvius, for the population in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. There has been recently, in the last few decades, a bit of a problem that some have raised the question, perhaps the Yam HaMelech used to be a bit further south. We know it's reducing every time, you know, they sell another packet of salt sea stuff on, you know, in what's it called, blue water. So a little bit of the Yam HaMelech has been reduced. We see that it's getting smaller. But so there was this contention that possibly the Dead Sea went further south, and therefore the lateral line should be drawn lower down. And therefore some Botedin maintain that the northern part of the Arava has got the Kedushas HaOretz. Only the southern part doesn't, which really makes life that much more difficult. The counter contention to this is that the Arava is actually, it's a good few meters above sea level. Yam HaMelech, and next to Yam HaMelech, is about 50 meters beneath sea level. To say that the Yam HaMelech went that far south means that somehow the Yam HaMelech was, you know, about 30 meters above sea level, or that would have covered Haifa also underwater. So it's far-fetched. But be that as it may, that is one source of vegetables in Eretz Yisrael from the Arava. Another source is, I'm going to tell you a new term. Ah, here it is. Can you see that on the screen? Yevul Nochri. Yevul Nochri means produce of a non-Jew. If a non-Jew has a field in Eretz Israel, does that food, that fruit, have the status of Kedushas HaOretz, Kedushas Shvius? We assume that yes. We assume, la'halocha, that even if a goy owns property, buys property in Eretz Israel, it does not revoke the sanctity of that area. So it's got Kedusha. But when we're talking about this issue of Sfichin, which is a penalty for the Jewish farmers who are in violation of Shmita, that penalty does not apply to a goy. So if a goy does farm his field and cultivate cucumbers and tomatoes and lettuce in Eretz Yisrael, but Yevul Nochri does not have the issur of Sfichin. So if I want to get kosher vegetables in Eretz Yisrael, if I can get from a farm owned by a non-Jew, then that does not have the issur of Sfichin. Kedusha Shvius, yes, Sfichin not. I'm going to explain Kedusha Shvius presently, what it means that food has got Kedusha Shvius. But meanwhile, that's a viable source. along the Yarden River, Afula, Beit She'an, along that strip, there are a number of Arab-owned farms, and that is another source where vegetables are sourced for the kosher eating community. Some bring from Jordan, but that's really much more problematic. Does Jordan have Kedushas Haaretz? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Yidden to Eretz Israel, so where Jordan is now partly was overtaken by the Jews and partly was not. Part of Moyov was sacred. You weren't allowed to touch Moyov, but only part of Moyov. The other part of Moyov, they were able to take. Moshe Rabbeinu is buried in Arvois Moyov. So that part of Jordan does have Kedushas Haaretz to a degree. So it's been practically for the Mashgichim to go to Jordan is a question of sakona, of danger, Mesiras Nefesh, and it's very difficult to rely on that. But now, having discussed a little bit about Eretz Yisrael, that's not really our problem at this moment. Let's come back to Kedushas Shviyis. Before I go further, it's on the slide here, Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira came up. The Torah says, the seventh year, leave your land fallow, drop it, nothing to do. About 150 years ago, you had the early pioneers coming to Eretz Yisrael. They were cultivating the land. They were struggling immensely. They was coming Shmita, and they were very worried that they would simply starve. They would have nothing to live on. And so therefore, they sent questions to various poskim. At the time, it was Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was the Rav in Kovna, one of the most prominent poskim of his time, and he was the one who allowed them, as a one-off, to sell the land, their fields, sell them to a goy, like you have Mechiras Chometz, which we do every Erev Pesach. Some people, some factories which cannot stop for Shabbos will work on a way of bringing in a non-Jewish partner who will own the factory for Shabbos. There is a Heter Mechira for Shabbos in extreme circumstances. So here was the idea of Heter Mechira to sell the land to a goy. There are ethical problems. Is it a right to sell land to a Israel to a goy? Is it the issue of Lois Sechonim? Is it permissible to sell land? But that's another issue. Here the question is, I just mentioned before, if a goy owns a land in Eretz Yisrael, it's still Kedushas Haaretz. So how could, even if you sell your land to a goy, how could I still take my plow out into the field? Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan didn't allow that. He said, his psak was, you'll sell the land to a goy, then you'll have your Arab workers or other goyish workers, like you have a Shabbos goy who does things which you can't do on Shabbos, so you'll have a Arab goy who'll do it for Shmita, you have a Shmita goy. And that was his idea of Heter Mechira, to allow the sale of the land to a goy and then to have goyim doing the work. That, as I said, there are a number of problems, and I don't know what you read in the papers, but in the this year particularly, the whole issue of Heter Mechira became a major issue where the Rabbanut HaRashit declined to carry through the Heter Mechira on subject to pressure, there was counter pressure, etc. But I just wanted to share with you what is the Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira was to allow the soil to be cultivated by goyim, and the produce, however, remains Kedushas Shviyis. Now, I've said this a few times, the word Kedushas Shviyis.
They will not eat. Yes. The land
belongs to a goy. And therefore, actually, when the Mashgiach goes along, let's say, the strip near the Yarden, he goes to every plot, he has to verify in the deeds, who does this plot of land belong to? Because if there's a businessman in Haifa who owns a plot of land next to the Yarden, and there's an Arab who's working it, that's Yevul Yisrael, not Yevul Nochri.
Is there a difference
in the lease or rental rather than... It has to be a sale. It has to be your own program. Okay. As I mentioned a few times, the word Kedushas Shviyis. You've got your avocados, as I said before, the avocados on sale now are not Kedusha Shvi'is because they have blossomed last year. But later on in the year, next autumn, you'll have your caramel avocados. First of all, am I, as a greengrocer, allowed to sell the stuff? And the answer is no. As we have le'ochlo, it says it should be le'ochlo, ve'loy le'schoido. You're not allowed to do business with it. I don't know why I didn't translate that into English. Le'ochlo, ve'loy le'schoido, it is for you to eat, but you're not allowed to trade with it. So therefore, as I mentioned before, export is not allowed, but even within Eretz Yisrael, there's no trade allowed. How does the population in Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, Haifa, Beersheba, how do the people in the cities get apples and pears? Do they all traipse out to the kibbutzim and start, you know, with baskets and take it every week, you know, going to go fruit picking every Sunday? They can't do that because they work on Sundays, a regular work day. How do they work this out? How does the, in other words, the urban population, how do they get their fruit in the cities? Here is something which was brought up already in Tosefta in the time of the Mishnah, called Oitzer Besdin. Although I'm not allowed to hoard fruit of Shmita, but Besdin is allowed to hoard it, and Besdin will be able to manage this idea, that Besdin will go on to the farmer, and they say to the farmer, you'll give us all your fruit, and we will pay you, not for the fruit, we'll pay you for the pickers, people who do the picking, we'll pay you for the trucking, we'll pay you for all the labor involved, but not for the fruit. We'll distribute it, and all the costs involved, all the logistics, that will have to be paid for by the customer, but not the fruit. What difference does it make? Sounds like a typical dray. It's not. It does have a consequence that you cannot charge more labor for a better quality fruit. Whether it's A-grade or C-grade apples, they cannot have a different price because it's the same labor, the logistics are exactly the same. And therefore, they will all, it's the best in outlets, whether it's in Bnei Brak or Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim, they cannot charge more for different qualities of fruit. They can only charge the costs involved. That's what the Oitzer Besdin achieves. I don't know. I've never, you know, gone into it that far, and perhaps there could be an argument that picking some fruit involves more work than others. But let's come back to Chutz La'aretz. La'ochlo v'lo'yer, so for you to go into, to as a shopkeeper, to trade with Shmita fruit, you're not allowed to. La'ochlo v'lo'yer l'schayda. Are you allowed to buy from a shop? But I don't know. I don't know whether buying from a shop is considered trade. Okay, so let's say you did somehow, whether you were allowed to buy, you didn't, or well, someone gave you, you come home, and you open your delivery from Tesco, and it says on it, caramel avocados. What are you meant to do with them now? So the answer is, le'ochlo, to eat it. Ve'loy le'hefsit, but you're not allowed to waste it. What would we make? Well, to throw it in the garbage would be degrading, which you're not allowed. How about peels? Now, peels are not really, for us, we throw away peels, but peels could be edible. In Eretz Yisrael, every Shruma kitchen during the year of Shmita has got a special bin, which they call the Pach Shvi'is, or Pach Shmita, and when they peel fruit or vegetables, which have got Kedusha Shvi'is, they will put the peels in this bin, leave it there for a week or two till it decomposes, and once it's decomposed by itself, then they will have the liberty to dispose of it in the way we normally dispose of rubbish. So you will do the same thing. If you get Peiros Shvi'is, you will be careful not to waste it. You'll eat it, Peiros Shvi'is, you'll eat them, but without wasting. An interesting thing is that when you do have dollar, with wine of Shmita, you won't douse the candle with the wine, because wax and the wine is not a very Gishmaka recipe, so it'll go to waste. So that would be lehefsa. So you wouldn't you'd put out your Havdalah candle somehow without the wine. Very, very important though, back to the vegetables. The vegetables, if you come home even now with vegetables from Eretz Yisrael, those will have Kedusha Shviyas, because we said vegetables go according to the Zman Halakhi, to the time of harvest. Therefore, if you go and buy dill or oregano or whatever, sweet potatoes, they will have Kedusha Shviyas. Are you allowed to eat them? So some poskim allow, because we said there's Isur Svichin, that you can't use the vegetables at all. So some say that the vegetables that started growing last year and are harvested this year have Kedusha Shviyas, but there's no Isur Svichin. According to this, the sweet potatoes which you'll get now in the market from Eretz Yisrael will have Kedusha Shviyas, no wasting, but you would be allowed to eat them. Later on in the year, the vegetables which will be coming from Eretz Yisrael will have not only Kedusha Shviyas, they will have the Isur Svichin, and they cannot be used at all. Flowers. Do flowers have the din of Shemitah? Well, it goes without saying that for a farmer to cultivate flowers, that is forbidden, because he's not allowed to do any agricultural activity. I was told the following. In the syndicate of flowers in this part of the world is Holland, and from all various countries they bring their flowers to Holland, from where they are distributed further. Most years Israel is the second biggest exporter of flowers. During the year of Shemitah, because there's no sales, or very little sales in Eretz Israel, so therefore Eretz Israel climbs to the biggest exporter of flowers during the year of Shemitah. Okay. Do Shemitah flowers have, is there any, so some say that the flowers which have a fragrance are compared to foods, and therefore they have a issur of schoira, of trading. Flowers which are not made for fragrance, they're just for decorative purposes, they do not have Kedushas Shviyas. And what difference does it make? Am I allowed to sell, I'm allowed to trade with Shemitah flowers? If they are fragrant, made for fragrance, then I do have an issue, a problem. If they don't have a fragrance, then there's no problem of Shemitah with them. Okay. Did I have here the word biur? That's man habiur. You may see in the newspapers published lists of fruit. This fruit is now zman habiur. This fruit is now zman habiur. What does zman habiur mean? Torah says that the fruit of Shemitah should be, it should be for you, your family, free for everyone. It should also be available. Livhem techo, v'lachayu asher basod. It should be available for your animals and for the wild animals in the field. Achachomim interpret this in the following. They say, Kol zman she hachayo oichelas basode, hachel livahemtucho babayis. So long as the chaya, the wild animal, is able to partake of the food going out in the wild, you can feed your animal, your domestic animal at home. Kol olochayim nasode, once it's no longer available for the chaya out there, kal livahemtucho min habayis, you cannot hold it any longer for your domestic animal. Hence, you have here cut-off times when Chachamim have observed that this fruit is no longer available in the wild, and that is called the Zman Habir for that fruit, which I'll explain what it means practically. But meanwhile, there will be a time, let's say Shvat, I'm just using figures, dates, I don't mean if for serious, but let's say plums, Zman Habir is going to be Shvat. Apples will be other, certain date in order, they will make their times of the year, they'll tell you when this fruit is now is already obsolete out there. What am I meant to do then? I'm not allowed to hold that fruit. If I've got a box of apples and it's come this man habir, I'm not allowed to keep the apples at home. I have to put them out free. So I have to take my box of apples and put them out in the street and I make an announcement, Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, free for all. You're living in Eretz Yisrael. How long do you have to wait? 3 minutes? Is that okay? Okay, after 3 minutes, no takers. Thank you. Back inside. So it's really, it's a tekes, it's a ceremony of You can call it symbolic, but it's an act of coming at the time when those fruit are obsolete outside, Zmanabir, you have to put it out Hefker. Once you've done that, you can take it back for yourself. That's how we paskin. The Rambam is more strict about this, but that's how we paskin lines. Okay, now my question is, if I have a fruit from Eretz Yisrael, which somehow arrived in Tottenham, where I live, can I take my box of caramel avocados and put it out on Norfolk Avenue, N15, and say, Achenu Bnei Yisrael, and it's free for Chaya Asher Basodeh? I hope that the animals from Eretz Yisrael field in the wild cannot come to my street. So therefore it's logical that Biur, L'chayo Asher Basodeh, has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. It's not really a big issue for most of us, because if you do manage to, if you do have to have Eretz Yisrael fruit and you eat it within a couple of weeks after it arrives to you, that's not a problem. You'll eat it before the Zman Habil. The problem comes with the Esrik. If you have an Esrik, this is already more than a century that Eretz Yisrael has been one of the major providers of Esrogim for Yidden all over the world. The Esrik is exported to Chutz Laaretz. I said before, you're not allowed to export to Chutz Laaretz Shmita fruit. That's a question. But having worked around that, and the Esrogim are exported to Eretz Yisrael, what do you do with your Esrik after Sukkos? Are you able to keep it? Or do you have to send it back to Eretz Yisrael to put it out of Hefker for the Chai Asher Basad? So the Aposkim who say that after Sukkos, the exported Esrogim should be repatriated to Eretz Yisrael for the Chai Asher Basad. Others disagree with this, and they say, what's the reason of Biur? Because it's no longer available. We all know that Esrogim are available the whole year round. Esrig is called Pri'etz Hador, and Hador is translated to Hador B'ilonoi Mishona L'shona. That Esrig is growing on the tree, dwelling on the tree throughout the year. Therefore, the Chayo Asher Basodeh will never be deprived of Esrogim, because there's always going to be Esrogim available throughout the year. There's never a Zman Habir for Esrig, therefore there's no rush to send them back. Practically, what should you do? When you buy your Esrig next Erev Sukkos, you'll, if it's Israeli Esrig, you'll discuss with your vendor if he does a repatriation service. Well, you'll avail of it. If not, you possibly rely on the more lenient opinion. One very, very important point which I want to share with you, and that is about Orlo. And Orlo applies not only Shmita, it applies every year. It does, applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. Orlo is a din all over the world. That the first 3 years of a fruit tree, the fruit of the first 3 years, are not to be eaten, they are forbidden, osu bahanua. You can't even give them to a goy. You can't feed them to an animal. They are osu bahanua. You're not allowed to have any benefit from the first 3 years of the fruit of a tree. I had an email about 3 months ago, 2 months ago, from Spain. Someone says to me, Rabbi, I need an answer within the next few hours, urgent. Someone had brought him a number of sacks of grapes to make, which he would make his own wine. And he says, if I can't use them, they're all going to go moldy in a few hours. So I need to have an answer, urgent. What was the problem? His benefactor told him that he's brought them from a vineyard, which is a new vineyard. The way it works is that they grow new trees in nurseries, where they have perhaps special attention, special protection, and they grow in optimal conditions, and they grow there for 2 years. Then they take them out from the soil there, or they're grown in the first instance in pots, then they are transported to larger vineyards, and they are planted in the soil. You look at it, it looks like Zayda Kemat, it looks like, you know, an immature tree, and actually Lahalocha, it's only 1 year old. And because when you repot, when you replant a tree, it starts, it's a new life again, unless it was transported with enough soil for it to survive with. You want to know what was the answer to the fellow in Spain, yeah? Now, the halacha is like this. Sofik orlo. Sophic Orla means possibly Orla, possibly not. In Chutzla Oretz is Muta. In Eretz Israel it's Aser. Being in Spain, and Spain is not part of Greater Israel yet. So therefore, the halacha is sofer or law is mutter. I don't know, he doesn't know, how much soil was taken with those vines as they were transported from the nursery to the replanting in the vineyard. Sofer or law, chutzla oretz is mutter. I told them you can use the grapes and make your wine gesundheit. That is all very well in chutzla oretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the picture is different. Sofek Orla is Aser. Tender fruit. Fruit which need to be, trees which need to be replanted frequently, have a very high incidence of Orla. And therefore, particularly grapes coming from Eretz Yisrael, you have here a high incidence of Orla. Now, as I mentioned before about the flowers, if there's a big problem of selling Orla grapes in Eretz Yisrael, what does the farmer do with them? No, the answer is export. If he's a shomer mitzvah, it's one thing. If he's not a shomer mitzvah, he's got this massive amount of fruit. He can't sell it in Eretz Yisrael because no, he won't get a hechsher. Okay, so he goes to Haifa or Yafo, goes into the ships. And as a result, really, you have here a major concern of Orla with particularly things like grapes or other tender fruit, which involve a lot of replanting. I want to finish off, because we're running out of time, a fascinating insight, which is written in the Yerushalmi, and the Rebbe refers to this many times. You have a tree, and it has little saplings growing up around it. That's my amateur drawing of how an x-ray in the ground, that's the middle of this is the tree, and you've got its roots spreading around equally to all sides. Those roots may possibly sometimes shoot up, and you'll have little saplings growing around the tree, satellites of the mother. So long as they are still attached to the mother tree, they do not have a separate duty of Orla, because they are like branches of a mother tree, no din of Orla. At the moment that they will, beneath the soil, become detached from the mother tree, they will become independent plants, independent trees, and now there will be a duty of Orla for 3 years hence. But the Yerushalmi poses the question, how are we meant to know what's going on underneath the soil? So Yerushalmi says a fascinating insight. He says the satellite trees, so long as they are attached to the mother, they will look away. And the Yishalmi rationalizes why. They are embarrassed to look the mother in the face. Because they are dependent on the mother, and they're getting everything from the mother, they are embarrassed to look the mother in the face. Once they become independent, then they will look back to the mother. Now, in scientific terms, I'm going to put in my own suggestion, that you have the idea of a tree, it works, it spreads out at your radially from the nucleus. So long as they are satellites, so then their nucleus is going to be the mother tree, and therefore they're going to spread outwards. Once they become independent, so their nucleus is their own, and therefore they're going to have leaves, and they're going to be spreading branches in all sides, because they are independent. That is on the more scientific side. But on the Musar side, on the ethical side, what is he saying here? That interesting observation of human life. Sometimes we look around and we have dependence. Dependency breeds a certain resentment. Because I'm embarrassed, I don't want to be dependent on you the whole time. You're giving me everything and I resent it. And therefore, don't be discouraged. You know, there's a time that your dependents are dependent. And at that time, so they'll be a little resentful. There'll be a time when they will become independent. They will become their own tree, and then they will turn back and look at it with pride to the source where they came from, and they will say thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Products coming into the UK at all, whether it's shooting or other users. With fruit-like grapes, that's a perennial problem. With fruit-like Jaffa oranges, or which are a hardier type of fruit, that you don't really have such a high incidence of replanting, and therefore the oriloi is a very low proportion, you wouldn't have to worry about it. There's, in contemporary Postum, discuss what proportion of the harvest would constitute enough of a concern to say, oh, there's lots of oriloi around. So with things like oranges, it's not such a problem, but with grapes, it is a problem. Okay. Yes.
I ordered some Tesco herb to grow in France. When it arrived, it said on it, rather euphemistically, because the wet bank.
Okay.
So this is just represented.
Yes.
And now I've got my chance of asking, I think it's correct, which have to use
it? It was vegetables.
It's vegetables.
Yeah. What kind of vegetables? sweet potato. Basil. It has Kedusha Shviyos. At this moment, it has Kedusha Shviyos, and you should, if you want, you can use it. Rely on the more lenient opinions that it's that you can use it. But no waste. Any peels, whatever, you should put in a separate bag and leave to decompose.
And what's the more strict opinion?
The more strict opinion would say it has a issur of svichin, and therefore you wouldn't use it.
The second lecture should now be drawing to a close.
One can rely on the more lenient opinion.
Okay.
Well, now you're in the sense of early, and you can see in front of you the short choice when you try and pull.
There is half an hour break before Thursday.
You're letting yourself into problems.
Mincha will be down in the beginning straight away. And for those ladies who wish to come in room 105, there will be a lady standing there as well. Please note there is a cafeteria for loads of sandwiches and goodies to eat and drink. You're most welcome to go there, sit,